So there are five levels here. All right? If I get into the second half, I want to say there are five levels, and so I was listening to Jim Collins, and he studied the greatest companies in the world, and what they wanted to know was from good to great, which means very good companies. They wanted to compare them to great companies. What was the difference between good, all right, and great companies? And he said, first thing is your first level in life is, we said, a sole contributor, which means you learn and you're a skilled person. The second is you join a team, you learn how to be a team player. The third is you learn how to manage a team, which is management. He said the fourth is leadership. He said, and then the fifth, when you get to that fifth level, is still leadership, but he said it is what you will call class five leaders. Now, here's what he said. He said, all great companies have class five leaders, and they are the ones that take the trajectory of a company or whatever they're doing, and it just shoots up. So they went to study, to compare class four leaders with class five leaders to find what was the difference, because both people leading the good companies and the great companies had gone from management, they were leaders. But what made these leaders different? And they said what they discovered was very, very unusual. And they called it the X factor, but it's always in the Bible. He said the key to great leaders was humility. Now, I want to show what this humility is. That the key to great leaders was simply humility. Now, he said, when we talk about humility, is what the Bible calls meekness. It doesn't mean weakness. He said, these were men that were driven with their vision. They were relentless about their vision. When you say a humble person, they are driven by that vision. They are relentless in the pursuit. All right. Now, the picture we have of a humble person, you know, is a person that is very different. I mean, from school, they taught us that meekness is not that. Meekness is having a teachable spirit. So people can think humility is that, oh, you are doing this. But you can be very stubborn and be doing that. You can be a very stubborn individual, all right, and be doing that, okay? And I know you wouldn't like it, but no. But the truth is this. If your life is not changing, the problem is stubbornness. If your life is not changing, you're a stubborn person. In other words, you don't know the way there, but you think you know the way there. All right? And you don't want to humble yourself. But it is not enough for you to tell yourself, I will surrender my life on somebody else's disability to make a decision or not make a decision. Are you following what I'm saying? You cannot surrender. You can't say as a Christian that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You cannot, as a Christian, boast of being a carrier of God and then say that the environment is defeating you. You can't. Now, the fact that the world says that doesn't mean you should join the world in saying it. Because you have said that your light will shine in darkness and darkness will not comprehend it. You have said you have access to the mysteries, all right, kept secret from ages and generations. Oh, yeah, show us. You have boasted, all right, of, look. Let me not say what I want to say. Let me not say. Okay? All right? No, let me not say it. Because some people, but, I mean, if I was teaching higher levels of people in leadership, I would have said it, but I won't say it because some people are very offended. But you can't surrender like that to the environment. So what you've got to understand, let me show you a scripture. This is a proper place to show this girl. Job chapter 35, verse 9 to 13. Let me show you what they told Job. This is what I'm trying to say. By reason of the multitude of the oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty, which means through the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out. And why are they crying now? They cry because of the arm of the mighty upon them, that we are being oppressed. The greatest corporation an oppressor gets is the mind of the people he oppresses. Who think that they can never get out of that oppression. That the oppressor has to be removed. That is the greatest cooperation they have. Look at the next verse. But none saith. That means people are crying from oppression. But God said, not one of them is saying, where is God my maker that gives songs in the night? Not that changes the night to day. Do you understand what I'm saying? But gives songs in the what? Night. Look at the next verse. Next verse here. Who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the what? Fowls of heaven. In other words, it says there is none that says. It didn't say remove the beasts. Do you get what I'm saying? It didn't say take away the fowls. It didn't say change the darkness to light. It says makes us wiser than the beasts of the earth. And it says, all right, teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the fowls of heaven. Next verse. They cry, but none giveth answer. That means, what are they crying for? The hand of the oppressor, God says, nobody's answering from heaven. Why? Because of the pride of evil men. This is what God is saying. Next verse. It says, surely God will not hear vanity. No, neither will the Almighty regard it. This is what the scripture says. Next verse. It says, although thou sayest thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is for him, therefore trust thou in him. So God is saying, listen, even if there is darkness, what you should ask for is light. Teach me to be wiser than the fowl. Because if God delivers you from oppression without delivering your soul, what will happen is when you take three steps away from the oppressor, you will ask to come back. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. God with power, they didn't know the ways of God, they knew the acts. Carry them out. Absolute stupidity. Do you know how many adults, even my friends, classmates, who are saying military should come back? I said, hold it. Tell me one country in the world that military has taken to greatness. One. In the history of this world, that under a military government, they became a civilized country. None. Tell me one military government that came after any in the history of this country that things got better. When they went from military to were dancing on the street, you'll be dancing. I told them, I said, well, you know, they'll be dancing. All right, then you go back into the thing. We are looking for external deliverance. And I told her, I said, now they've even taken it from military. It's pastors now. All right, pastors now should be delivering. All right, it's that mindset of just look for any institution, Messiah, anywhere, grab onto the Messiah. It is not a question of growth of your own wisdom and understanding. It's like an external power should come and remove that thing off you without there being a development. If you go and study countries where there's development there, you'll find out that entrepreneurs entered into things that the government didn't understand. The government had to catch up with them with laws. It's going on today in this country with fintech. Those people are breaking into things that the government will now look at and say, you mean you can transfer money like this, and dollar you'll be doing, are you now a bank? How can you be transferring money and doing exchange at your own rate? Please, National Assembly, go and enact a law. That's what's going on. You enact the law, the guys innovate on it again, and move into another space, and you say, what do you call this? Bitcoin. Where do you get, how do you change it to money? No, it can't be true. They are changing the money, where? So everybody, then you now are looking for something again to enact. Before, they will tell you can't work in a country without work permit. Now, people are working in countries in their country without collecting work permit. Now, where do they pay tax? Is it to this country they are sitting, or is it where they are collecting the money from? Because the law of taxation says where you reside. Now they are residing in Nigeria and making the money from your country. So you have to go again and change that law. Now, boy, all our money is going somewhere. That is how laws are made. It means that people go beyond the government catches up. Numbers 12:3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all men that were upon the face of the earth. that there was nobody as teachable as Moses. That was secret to Moses. There was nobody. That's why you think about it. If that man wasn't meek, nobody in this world had seen that kind of thing. You went into the strongest nation in the world and you lifted up your rod and the whole nation, you destroyed the nation. The biggest army at that point, you lifted up your rod, the Red Sea parted, all of them perished, you came out triumphant, and then you are walking with the 2 million Jews, and then your father-in-law, who has no history of having worked with God like that, who hasn't done any miracle in his life, now comes and says to you, with your 2 million church, he says, what you are doing is not good. Listen to me and God will give you counsel. This is how you should structure this thing. Who will accept that kind of thing? You look and say, what are you talking about? Do you know me that parted the Red Sea? And Moses, in that state with that result, listened to that man and structured his ministry after what that man said. Do you know the level of meekness? I just told you here that Steve Jobs was the one that brought the idea. All right? If they don't tell you the story, Christians will say, listen to me, what can a man in the world tell us about the things of God? It's a vision we got from the Spirit of God. Meanwhile, he was the one that had the concept that will make that thing do what? Fly. They would say, well, what are they trying to tell us about this? What do they think? This is something the Holy Ghost gave to me. This is what the Holy Ghost gave to me. You know, somebody came to meet me. This was Port Harcourt, and I was sharing about the fact that, yes, during their work or something, that you take your vision planted into the earth, and nourishment comes from people. And the chap told me, he said, but when you say nourishment, that's human gives you information. He said, but things like divine healing, you know, we just, the redemptive, you know, when people start the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, just to die. So I said, okay, when you're wife wanted to give birth, did you sit in the house and say the redemptive? I don't know why people want to complicate their lives. You enter the cafe, let's be going where? To where there was knowledge. Where people who had knowledge of that thing were. So what's your problem? When you got there, did you say, are you filled the Holy Ghost? Did you speak in tongues? You did not. People just want to cause trouble. Something you are already practicing. We're just explaining it to you. So you understand the balance and how to make your... Now you're almost saying that, well, you are doing it already. Now said it's true. Okay. So what we're saying now is, this is what I was not telling him. And I will say this to disturb you too. Now, as you're delivering the child, the doctor said, we need to give an injection for this. You say, okay, give an injection. Abi? Okay, they deliver, they do everything. When the baby now comes out, after 6 months, they say the baby is coughing too much. We need to give an injection. You say, no, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's by the confession of God's word. I will not. Why didn't you do that one at that particular point? So you have to know the balance of this thing. Not to become hypocritical. Because when you teach it that way, any person, which is what is going on in the body of Christ now, people have removed the veil. Oh, God, come. This one you are saying, you said, what about this one? Then you are looking. Why don't you just come and don't call architect, don't call engineer, don't call anybody. Just stand. House. B. Building B. So what you now have to do is to draw the line where there is revelation, spirit realm, and where there is natural. And then teach it properly. Do you get what I'm saying here? Instead of teaching it to a point where people now feel guilty. I mean, one day I went to somebody's house. That's the day, preaches. I'm this is an American minister, and he preaches divine healing, long life, everything. I know, and the Spirit of God. Meanwhile, when we got to breakfast table, he had all the vitamins. All kinds. They were opening the sachets. They said, Oga bought. But on the pulpit, it's like, the Holy Ghost, you are taking. He said, no, because at this particular age, there's deficiency of. Shoo? Now, I didn't judge him for that. But I just had a confirmation. Are you following what I'm saying? So I want to close with one more thing. So a meek person is not a weak person, but a teachable person. All right? A person that knows that with every book I read, I get better. With every conversation I listen to, all right, from somebody who is saying substantial stuff, my life will improve. A meek person, therefore, is someone who goes out and at the end of the day tells myself, I've not learned anything new today that I can apply tomorrow morning to adjust and change things. I've wasted my time. All right? So a meek person, there is a teachable person. In other words, they are determined, they hold fast their confession, but there is a disposition that they have, which means that they are not contentious, they want to learn. All right? And instead of that meekness, what people do at this point, all right, and this very, very important thing, is that people harden their heart. Now, in 2 Samuel 6:8, we saw this last week. I'm just using familiar scripture so we don't have to. 2 Samuel says, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach. So they tried to carry the ark in a new cart, and two guys died. And the Bible says David was displeased. All right? He was upset. And this is where we harden our hearts. Because Proverbs 21, verse 29 tells us, it says, it talks about hardness of the heart. A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. So you have a choice, either to harden your heart, which means to get upset and to harden your heart, or, all right, to look for direction for your way. Now, David at that point went back to God and said, I get it. This is where we missed it. And when he came, his strength was renewed now. And then they went up with wings as eagles in that particular point. So I close with this scripture, Hebrews 3, 5 to 11. So this is the point here. The Bible says, hold fast your confidence. All right, faithful, verse 6. It says, Christ the Son of Isaiah, if we hold fast our confidence. So hold fast your confidence and rejoicing of hope. Firm, hold it firm unto the end. However, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err, and they have not known my ways. He says, and I swore they will not enter. So you are rejoicing, holding fast, but you are going to have to learn his ways in order to get that manifestation. And when you learn his ways, you will enter into rest. When you enter into rest, it's from a position of ease, because now you know the ways of God. So where there's a struggle, you don't know the way there, which means what was causing it, you don't know the way. And what you can do is you can get upset and you can harden your heart, you know, and tell yourself and become angry, you know, and go into self-justification. Or you can humble yourself and learn his ways. And he tells us in Romans chapter 9, verse 18, he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And he says, I will harden, all right, and whom he will have mercy on whom will have mercy, whom he will, he hardeneth. So when you get to that point, right, is either you experience the mercy of God right there, or you experience the hardness of the heart. And some people, when they get to those difficult points, they harden their heart, and some people receive mercy. Now, if you receive mercy, what happens is you will, that's in that same context in Romans, it says, you will find out it's not of him that runneth or of him that willeth, but of him that has done what? Obtaineth. You know, that's Romans 16. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Next verse there, he now says, for the scripture says, even for this same purpose I have raised to show my power indeed, that my name may be declared throughout the earth. The next verse, therefore will have mercy on whom will have mercy, and will harden. So some people harden their heart, some people receive mercy. And when they receive mercy, and at that point, then you know that it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. Which means two of us were running and willing. We hit, all right, on something because we both didn't know the way there. One's heart got hardened. Another went and received mercy. What is this mercy he's talking about that you receive? What is this mercy? Psalm 32, and I'll close with this, verse 3. Psalm 32, verse 3. It says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture was turned to the drought of summer. He said, I acknowledge my sin, which means, sin means not that you are actively doing something wrong, but you are missing the mark. The word sin comes from the Greek word hamartia, which means to miss the mark. He said, I acknowledge that I was missing the mark. That's why my moisture is being turned to the drought of summer. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. Thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. He says, for thee shall everyone pray unto thee in a time where thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near thee. Let me tell you this. If you are ever getting into trouble in life, go and pray Psalm 32. Don't blame anybody for the trouble, because you may be ignorant of something that is causing the trouble. Not that you have done something deliberately wrong, but you may have missed something somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying here? I mean, I told someone recently, I said, listen to me. After the way you behaved, I went to pray Psalm 32 for God to deliver me from my own error. I'm not praying for me. Because anytime I find myself in a place where there's trouble, it's not anybody causing trouble. I must have missed something. I take responsibility for my life. Are you following what I'm saying here? I've said this before. If I hire somebody and the person steals money and runs away, my problem is not you. My problem is me. How did I not see a thief when he walked in? I don't. Someone said, a guy came. He broke my mind. He's wicked. How did you not see the wicked man? How did you not see it? Because there were signs of his wickedness. You just didn't see it. So you go to God. Forgive. He says, look at what he says in that scripture. He says, surely. Look at what it says. Thou mayest have, surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come near thee. Look at the next verse. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble and compass me about with what? Songs of deliverance. These are the songs in the ninth season. Next verse. I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Don't be like the horse or the mule. He says this. All right, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and brittle, lest they come near unto thee. Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, so what you do is that you take responsibility for the situation and go and meet God and say, God, I'm not hardening my heart in this situation. I'm coming to meet you to ask you to teach me, to give me wisdom and understanding. And listen, this thing, this iniquity, is not that you are actively doing something wrong, is that you are not aware. So, for example, if Steve Jobs said app, and these people were here with website, they were still working on the website, they will still be on that website now. They will still be on the website. Turn the website like this, turn the website like this, turn the website like this, turn the website. Are you following? Turn it. But somebody somewhere has brought something. So when you are struggling, it is the way of the transgressor that is hard. If the way is hard, you're on the wrong path. Not because you decided to go on the wrong path. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof is death. Go for mercy. This thing is too hard, God. There is another way to it. And then he will teach you and he will instruct you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your spirit, I ask you, establish us in this truth, expand it within our right consciousness, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.